Usually, when we think about controlling a complex system, like flying a drone, balancing a bipedal robot, or even just steering your car, there is this underlying expectation of force.
Right.
Like, you want the drone to move left, so the motors push right. It is very binary. It's essentially just Newton's third law in action. You just push the thing exactly where you want it to go.
Yeah, we like to think of control as applying a direct force to overcome resistance. I mean, it is incredibly comforting because an action and a reaction are visible and immediate.
Exactly. But then you step into the world of advanced theoretical mathematics and chaos theory, and suddenly that whole idea of pushing just feels, well, a little clumsy.
It really does.
Because what if making a complex system do what you want isn't about forcing it at all? What if instead you could secretly bend the reality around it so the system literally has no choice but to fall exactly where you want?
And that is the exact premise we are unpacking today. We have our hands on a fascinating technical exchange outlining a brand new mathematical framework, and it is an absolute paradigm shift.
Oh, completely. Welcome to the deep dive, by the way. I'm so excited for this one.
Me too. This framework sits right at the intersection of physics, mathematics, and robotics. It shows how mimicking the universe's gravity might completely revolutionize how we control autonomous agents, systems, and honestly, chaos itself.
So, to really wrap our heads around this, we need to know where the math currently stands. Like, up until now, how have we been handling these complex autonomous systems?
Well, for a long time, we have relied heavily on something called matrix analysis.
Okay.
You can think of matrix analysis as the mathematics of sensing. It is how a system observes its environment, compresses massive amounts of sensor data, and represents its current state.
So it basically answers the question, like, where am I?
Exactly, it maps the territory.
Okay, so matrix analysis is the sensor. But if that is the math of sensing, what are the sources proposing for the math of acting? Like, how do they mathematically describe the actual steering without relying on that old school Newtonian pushing?
So the framework proposed in today's deep dive is called geodesic actuation calculus.
Which is a mouthful, but.
It is, yeah. The sources actually note some honorable mentions for the name, like curvature control mathematics and Lagrangian steering calculus, which describe the mechanics pretty well.
But they went with geodesic actuation calculus.
Right, because of its direct fundamental inspiration from how gravity operates in our universe.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because when most people hear the word gravity, they visualize, a magnet pulling a paperclip across a desk, like an invisible force tugging on an object.
Yeah, a giant tractor beam.
Right. But under general relativity, that isn't what is actually happening.
No, not at all.
No.
In Einstein's universe, gravity does not pull. Massive objects like stars and planets, they actually curve the fundamental fabric of space-time around them.
Right.
So when a comet flies past a star, it is not being tugged by an invisible string. It is just moving forward, following the straightest, lowest energy path through a space that is fundamentally bent.
And in physics, that optimized least resistance path is called a geodesic. So the comet is literally just coasting down a hill that the star created.
That is exactly it. Now, apply that concept to artificial actuators.
Okay, and an actuator is simply the mechanism that makes a system move, right? Like a drone's propeller or a robotic arms motor.
Yes, exactly. Traditionally, an actuator continuously pushes a system toward a goal state. But in geodesic actuation calculus, the actuator does not push.
Wait, then what does it do?
Instead, it computationally reshapes the system's mathematical environment, which we call the state manifold or the phase space.
Okay, hold on. Terms like state manifold and phase space sound incredibly intimidating for anyone listening who isn't actively writing white papers.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Is a phase space basically just a mathematical map of all the possible choices and physical states a system could potentially exist in?
Yeah, you can think of it as the ultimate topographical map of possibilities. Every coordinate on that map represents a specific combination of speed, angle, and position your system could take.
Okay, I want to give everyone a visual here. To help you visualize this at home, think about trying to get a golf ball into a cup on a putting green.
I like this analogy.
Right. The traditional way of doing this, the Newtonian pushing way, is to hit the ball with a club. You apply force, you hit it, you check where it went, you walk over, you hit it again.
And maybe you overshoot, so you tap it back.
Exactly. You are constantly applying discrete bursts of energy to correct its path across a flat space.
And if you translate that to a drone or a server rack simulating control laws, That constant correction burns a massive amount of continuous energy.
It's exhausting. But this new geodesic actuation calculus, it's like walking up to the golf green, and instead of ever touching the ball, you physically bend the grass.
Right.
You calculate the exact physics required to warp the ground into a massive funnel shape centered directly on the cup. Then you just let go of the ball. You don't push it.
It naturally rolls down the slope.
Exactly. It takes the geodesic path and lands in the hole entirely on its own.
So the actuator's job shifts from being the club to being the curvature. It computes and applies the minimal work needed to bend that face space.
Which is wild.
It is. It shifts control from an active, constant struggle against the environment to a passive inevitability.
Okay, bending the golf green sounds incredible, but putting myself in the shoes of an engineer listening to this, building the funnel up front sounds incredibly risky. In a real-world scenario, the environment changes constantly.
Sure.
If I burn massive compute to bank the curvature for my drone's flight path, and suddenly a 30-mile-per-hour windstorm hits, didn't I just waste all that computational energy on a mathematical landscape that is no longer accurate? It feels like building a rigid roller coaster track just as an earthquake hits.
That is a great point. But the windstorm variable is actually the perfect stress test for this framework.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because with traditional control, a sudden windstorm forces your drone's PID controllers to frantically recalculate and blast the motors to push back against the wind, burning battery life.
Right.
But the VAC landscape isn't a rigid track or a single predetermined line. It's a topological field.
Meaning what, exactly?
It is a funnel covering the entire surrounding space. If a gust of wind blows the drone off its center path, it is simply pushed onto a different, higher part of the same funnel.
Oh, I see. So it doesn't need to recalculate a new path because every point on the funnel already slopes down to the target.
Exactly. The system simply rolls down from its new position. The potential well naturally absorbs the perturbation.
That is brilliant.
And this is why the initial upfront cost is justified. Once that VAC curvature is stored, the system enters the iteration phase.
Okay.
The system naturally evolves over time, and with every step it takes, it is withdrawing from this stored potential. It is slowly spending the curvature you banked, requiring almost zero new computational thought.
But how does the system actually process that withdrawal? What is the mathematical engine that ensures it is moving down the funnel and not just, you know, spinning around the rim?
The framework driving this is called conditional collapse theory, or CCT.
CCT, okay.
And conditional collapse theory, every iterative step the system takes downward, essentially asks a fundamental question. Is the state closer to the attractor?
The attractor being your target, the hole-in-one.
Yes. And with every natural step down the funnel, the entropy of the system drops.
And just to clarify for everyone, entropy here means uncertainty or chaos.
Exactly. Entropy drops stepwise. The system is systematically eliminating chaotic possibilities until it reaches its target, at which point the uncertainty collapses completely.
Okay, to prove that the CCT engine actually works, the sources didn't just run a simulation of a drone in a breeze. They applied this math to a notoriously difficult concrete test case in physics.
Yeah, the driven, damped, chaotic pendulum.
Right, because chaotic systems are the ultimate nightmare for traditional control theory.
They really are. A driven, damped pendulum is essentially a pendulum swinging on a hinge, but it is fighting two conflicting forces.
Okay.
It experiences friction, which is the damped part pulling energy out, but it is also being violently pushed back and forth by an external motor, which is the driven part injecting energy in.
It is like trying to push someone on a playground swing while the entire swing set is completely submerged underwater.
That is a perfect way to picture it.
Right. You are pushing the motor hard, but the water's drag is fighting you. And the conflicting forces cause the swing to jerk, stall, loop around unexpectedly, and reverse direction unpredictably.
It has incredibly high entropy. In a chaotic regime like that, two identical pendulums starting just a millimeter apart will trace completely different paths within seconds.
It's pure chaos.
So the goal of the geodesic actuation calculus in this test is to tame that high entropy underwater swing. They want to stabilize it into a predictable period one orbit.
Meaning they want it to oscillate exactly once per drive cycle, creating a perfect repeating loop regardless of the chaos.
Exactly.
And they do this without just throwing a bigger motor at it to force it into submission.
Right, no pushing.
Instead, the framework introduces the CCT question lattice. They use a sequence of 20 targeted mathematical questions divided into four distinct categories to understand and then bend the space.
And those categories map the entire progression of control. Stationary laws, probability and state, periodicity, and finally, geodesic actuation.
It is a highly logical sequence.
Very logical. Before it can control the chaos, it has to confirm it is actually dealing with true chaos and not just a complex pattern. So early on, question 02 asks if the drive amplitude is in a critical state.
Right.
And further down, question 08 checks for a positive Lyapunov exponent.
Okay, let's translate that for you listening. A Lyapunov exponent mathematically measures how fast two initially close trajectories diverge from each other.
Yes.
If it is positive, it means things are getting very messy very fast. It tells the system, yes, any traditional controller is going to fail here because the errors will compound exponentially.
Exactly. And once the lattice confirms the positive Lyapunov exponent, it knows it must abandon pushing and start shaping.
I love that.
It moves into the periodicity category to define the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Question 16 asks, what is the target attractor? It isolates that clean, repeating period one orbit as the objective.
Okay.
Then comes the critical pivot in the actuation category, question 17. What potential creates the geodesic?
Ah. So question 17 is the moment you step onto the golf green and bend the grass.
That is exactly where the heavy lifting happens. The math calculates the exact V-act, that artificial potential, what we talked about, needed to warp the phase space so that the straightest possible path through the chaos leads directly into the predictable repeating loop.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. Think about how we usually try to solve these mind-bending nonlinear physics problems today.
We throw AI at them.
Exactly. We train massive artificial intelligence models using deep reinforcement learning. We feed a neural network billions of parameters, let it fail millions of times, and eventually it learns to balance the pendulum.
But we have absolutely no idea how it is making its decisions.
None. It is a black box. The AI's internal whites are totally opaque. If something goes wrong, you can't audit the math.
Right, whereas geodesic actuation calculus operates as a stark contrast to those opaque AI models.
Yeah.
It's highly explainable. It is effectively playing a game of 20 questions with the laws of physics.
Yeah.
Every step in the CCT question lattice is a transparent logical deduction.
It is reasoning its way through the physics rather than just guessing and checking millions of times.
Precisely. And once the math answers question 17 and warps the landscape with that V-act potential, the active intervention stops.
The bending is done.
The actuator control law physically acts as the curvature, and the wildly swinging pendulum naturally falls toward the target orbit through the iterative withdrawal of that stored potential.
Wow.
The chaos is starved of its erratic pathways because the space itself now only allows for order.
The pendulum just falls into the groove we carved for it. But that leads to the final mechanical hurdle in the sources.
Right, the recognition phase.
Yeah, because the chaotic pendulum has been funneled into a predictable loop. But how does the system actually recognize it has succeeded? If the goal is to stop burning compute energy, how does it know when to turn off the expensive calculations?
This requires a mechanism called periodicity recognition. The system needs an internal trigger to realize it has solved the problem. And it achieves this via a process called state hashing.
State hashing. Okay, so think of a hash as a mathematical photograph. It is a highly compressed snapshot of the exact state the pendulum is in at a specific millisecond.
Right, its exact angle, its momentum, and the position of the drive motor.
Exactly.
The system takes a hash of its state at regular intervals as it swings. Let's call a snapshot taken right now hash T. As the system continues to evolve, it constantly compares its current hash T to a memory bank of hashes from previous cycles.
Okay, I follow.
If the current hash T exactly matches a hash from, say, 3 cycles ago, the system experiences a mathematical epiphany. It recognizes that its current physical state is identical to a past physical state.
Meaning it is in a repeating loop.
Exactly.
And what happens to the underlying math at that precise moment of recognition?
At that moment, the pattern entropy collapses to absolute zero.
Zero uncertainty.
Yes. In the conditional collapse theory framework, periodicity, a repeating pattern, is recognized as a completely solved state. Because the laws of physics are deterministic, if the pendulum is in the exact same state it was 3 cycles ago, its future will perfectly mirror its past.
Wow. There is no more uncertainty about what the system will do next.
Because it's just going to repeat the same loop forever, as long as the environment holds.
And because the future is suddenly predictable, we can finally look at the energy economics we talked about earlier. The sources provide an actual breakdown of the compute savings, and it proves why banking the curvature up front was such a brilliant investment.
Yes, let's run their numbers. When the pendulum is in uncontrolled chaos, when the swing is thrashing underwater, it costs 100 energy units per step just to simulate and track its wild, divergent movements.
To track it.
The computational overhead just to watch the chaos is massive.
So 100 units of continuous draining compute just to keep your eyes on the problem.
Yep. Exactly. To intervene, you use question 17 to design the VACT landscape. Banking that curvature costs a massive 500 units up front.
Pouch!
Yeah, it is a huge spike in your server rack's energy use. You pay a heavy premium to mathematically build the funnel.
But then comes the return on investment.
Right. Once that landscape is built, and the state hashing recognizes that the system is locked into its periodic repeating loop, the active calculations shut down.
Ooh.
The natural geodesic flow takes over. The system coasts down the path of least resistance, and the operational cost plummets from 100 units per step to just 5 units per step.
5 units. That is a 95% compute savings compared to just observing the chaos, let alone actively fighting it.
It is a staggering leap in efficiency. The sources categorize this as a completely novel algorithm called entropy-guided geodesic control.
Entropy-guided geodesic control.
Right, and it operates on a fundamentally different philosophy than traditional control methods you might hear about in engineering today, like PID controllers, linear quadratic regulators, or deep reinforcement learning.
Because traditional methods, like a PID controller on a quadcopter, are constantly adjusting motor speeds.
Yes.
They are forever locked in a dogfight with gravity and wind, continuously burning battery life to force the system to hover in place.
Exactly. Whereas this new algorithm optimizes for collapse per unit work. It actively seeks out periodicity, treats it as a solved state where no further control is needed, and relies entirely on the stored potential energy of the curved space rather than applying continuous corrective force.
So what does this all mean for you and the systems you interact with? When you zoom out from the theoretical math, the Lyapunov exponents, and the pendulums, what we actually have here is a blueprint for self-stabilizing systems.
Yes, exactly.
If a massive gust of wind knocks that pendulum out of its perfect loop, we don't need a computer to frantically calculate a new push. The potential well we build automatically absorbs the perturbation.
Right.
The pendulum rolls down the side of the funnel and falls right back into its predictable groove without the system spending an extra ounce of computational thought.
The profound shift here is philosophical as much as it is mathematical. We are moving from a paradigm of forcing actions to a paradigm of shaping environments.
Yeah.
Geodesic actuation calculus mathematically proves that sometimes the most efficient way to control a wildly complex system isn't to fight its nature. It is to intricately alter the underlying conditions so that the correct choice becomes the path of least resistance.
It is about making the right thing to do the easiest thing to do. And that leaves you with a really fascinating final thought today, directly inspired by where the source material concludes its analysis.
Oh, this is the best part.
It really is. If this entropy-guided geodesic control works to stabilize the wild physical chaos of a swinging pendulum simply by bending its decision space, imagine what happens when we try to apply this exact same mathematics to human-driven chaos.
Could we map the potential wells of massive market cycles?
Yeah.
Instead of a central bank trying to force an economy to behave through aggressive continuous rate hikes, could we subtly bend the mathematical landscape of the market so that economic stability naturally becomes the geodesic?
Or think about the routing of multi-agent systems in our cities. Imagine thousands of autonomous delivery drones or self-driving cars navigating a crowded metropolis.
It's normally a nightmare to calculate.
Right now, we try to control them by sending constant high compute commands, frantically pushing them to avoid each other and brake for pedestrians. But what if we just warped their digital environment?
Warped the grid itself.
Yeah. What if we banked the curvature of the city's traffic grid so that navigating safely without crashing was just the path of least action? They wouldn't need to calculate how to avoid each other. They would just flow down the safe paths like water moving down a sloped hill.
It fundamentally changes how we approach any complex network. It begs the question, in what other disciplines is it exponentially better to bend the manifold than to force the action?
That is the exact question to leave you with. When you look at the complex, chaotic systems in your own life, your own engineering projects, or your own business, are you exhausted because you are constantly pushing against the wind? And how much energy could you save if you stopped fighting the pendulum and started bending the green? Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring.